Today we're going to talk about vision again. If you joined us last week, then you know we were talking about vision, and we will be talking about vision all this month. This is our vision month to try and realign our hearts, hear from heaven, and make sure that we're following after Jesus and all the things that he's called us to do. This has been a crazy year. There is lots of crazy things that's going on, and I think like never before we need to realign our hearts and make sure that our hearts are aligned after the things of God. So last week we talked about blurry vision. Today we're going to talk about focused vision. I think it's some good news. Maybe if you were struggling to see clearly, then we talked about blurry vision last week. Jesus is the answer. But here's the next problem that we're going to run into. You can now see clearly, but now you've realized there's so many things to see. There's so many choices. Have you ever discovered that every day there's just so many things you got to make a decision on? There's just so many things you can focus on. There's so many things that want your attention. There are so many things that try to grab your vision. And so today we're going to talk about focused vision. We're going to say, like, what would it look like if we just focused on one thing, stuck at it? Is it possible to even decide? Is it possible to try and, you know, weed out all the other things that want to grab our attention and just focus on the main thing? I think one of the biggest challenges that we face at the moment is, how do you make the right decisions or make the good decisions to help you to focus on the main things that you're after? You know, maybe you're focusing on building your business. Maybe you're focusing on your family. Maybe you're, and hopefully, if you're a Christian, you're focusing on Jesus. But how do you make those the main things? And of course, if it is Jesus and you are a Christian, how do you make him the main thing? Like, how do you keep him in focus? How do you keep him the primary focus of your attention? I think without good decisions, it's pretty much impossible, isn't it? Without good decisions and without good, clear decision making, you won't focus on the right things. And so today, this is what we're going to talk about. Ever been to a restaurant? I know that's a horrible thing to say at this moment because it feels like we haven't been in restaurants in months. But, you know, when you were back in restaurants and you had a menu, I mean, here's how it goes sometimes. This is the way it would go for me. It's like I see the menu, but I already know kind of what I want. I'm not going to get waylaid by all the different options. I know what I want. I know what I like. I know what I'm after. I'm going for it. But here's the thing with Nikki is that we'll go to the menu. She'll have a look at the menu. She'll be like, Wow, there's so many different things to choose from. She'll say to me, what did I get the last time? Because she wants to have a backup plan. She'll have a thing, she'll decide, and inevitably the girl or the guy's going to come and say, what's your order? And she'll say, give me 2 more minutes. And so we'll do this 2-3 more times, and then eventually it'll come down to 2 options. Just give me what I got the last time, or give me that. Just pick it random. And then afterwards she'll go, I wish I'd have picked what I normally get. You see, menus are great, but sometimes there's just too much choice, isn't it? Restaurants are great, but sometimes you're so overwhelmed with choice, you're not sure what to pick. Or just last year, there was a friend of mine, or I call him a friend, but he was a bit of a hero, and he still is. Bill Wilson came over from New York, has the biggest Sunday school in the world. And he emailed us, went and started last year, and said, hey, want to come to Vibe? I thought it was a spam email to begin with, because I was like, oh my gosh, he's amazing. Of course I would love him to come. Anyway, long story short, he came to Vibe. It was incredible. But before that night started, we took him for something to eat in one of the local restaurants. We get to the local restaurant. The girl gives him the menu. He has a look at it for just a moment or two, and then he goes, give me lasagna. She goes, would you want pasta with that, chips with that, coleslaw? He goes, give me lasagna. It's like, are you sure that's all I can get you? Give me lasagna. In other words, he had decided, I know what I want. Here's my focus vision. I'm not going to waste any time on any other things. I just want lasagna. Maybe in life, that's what we need a bit more of. We just know exactly what we need of, know exactly what we're focusing on, and we stick to it. Well, today we're going to talk about focused vision, and our hearts, of course, are going to align to Christ. And we're going to say to ourselves, hey, how can we stay focused on him? I want him to be my main thing. I want him to be my everything. I don't want to be distracted by all the other things that want to grab my attention. But how do I stay focused on him? Let me give you an amazing story of focused vision. Back in the 60s, there was this guy. Now, I'm just going to call him the Mountain Man from India because, I don't speak Indian and I cannot do his name justice, so I'm not even going to try. He's called the Mountain Man. That's what the papers dubbed him. But here's what he did. Way back in the early 60s, late 50s, early 60s, he was living in a remote village and they had to get to this other village every day, maybe for resources, maybe for work, all those different things. And so what would happen is he would go off to work, and the tradition in the culture back then was your wives or the people that were looking after you would bring your lunch. But by the time they would get the lunch, the guys would be fed up, they'd be angry because it was so hard to get to them because the climb over the mountain was treacherous, it was dangerous, and many times they would fall and hurt themselves. And then to do the trek around the mountain was like 70 kilometers, just too far. So guess what happened? This mountain man, this guy in the middle of India decided, you know what, I'm going to do something about it. So he decided one day at the start of 1960, and he worked for the next 22 years with a focused vision. By the end of the 22 years, guess what he did? He literally literally drove a road through a mountain. I mean, you got to look this up on YouTube, or you got to look this up on Facebook. There is a movie about this guy as well. But it was 300 feet long, it was 30 feet wide, and he literally dug with a hammer and chisel every single day, before work, after work. He was relentless. He had a focus, vision, and he would not give up. Here's the crazy thing in the middle of the story. He started it because he wanted to bring benefit to the villagers, but partway through the digging exploration, when he's digging the road, his wife took sick. She couldn't get to the hospital in time because of the treacherous journey. She sadly passed away, but all it did was give him an even greater focus on vision, because he had a heart for people, and he said, if I've got anything to do with this, nobody else is going to die. I'm going to dig this road. I'm going to make this through. And he had a focus vision, and in 1982, he literally did it. He dug all the way through the rock. You've got to look up the pictures. It is incredible. But here's what I want to take from the story, and here's what I want to draw our attention to. When you have a focused vision, you can do incredible things. When you get focused on lots of other things, I think you can wind up doing very little. It reminds me of a story from Matthew 17:20. Let me read it to you. This guy had faith and determination. And here's the story that Jesus gives his disciples. Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as mustard seeds, here's what Jesus said. He said, I know you've got little faith, but here's what I want to tell you. A little faith goes a long way. A little faith can still do extraordinary things. You can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. Jesus is literally telling us all the way from 2,000 years ago to today, even if you've got tiny faith, it's a little bit of faith. Take that faith, get a focused vision on something, and put that faith into action and watch what can take place. Now, here's the thing. It may take 22 years, but so what? This guy changed the villages. It wasn't just one village. It was multiple villages' lives forever. He did the impossible. What if we got focused vision? What if after a few years, or after 10 years, we did something impossible? Because we decided with faith and determination, we aren't going to stop. We're going to stay focused. Here's the things I think we can learn from the story of the guy, but also the story from Jesus, is that focused determination is what's required. Now, it's not good enough on its own, but it's definitely a great starter, and it will keep you going every single moment, every single day. I pray we can ask God to give us more focused determination to keep going. We need to stay faithful. I have a concern in my heart, because I think sometimes I have to watch myself, maybe you'll be the same, that our faith is too dependent on time. It's like, if it doesn't happen quick enough, then my faith kind of runs out. You know what I mean? Or if it doesn't happen the way I hope for, I really fast, because we live in a fast-paced world. And if it doesn't happen quickly, then, well, maybe God wasn't in it. It took him 22 years. What if we have misunderstood this verse, or maybe just narrowed it down to, if I speak in Jesus' name, it should just happen. That mountain should disappear. Or what if it, by faith, you chip away every single day through prayer, because we're going to talk about spiritual things, not just physical, but the guy did physical things for 22 years. But what if you did spiritual things for 22 years, and at the end of it, you saw your loved one saved? Or at the end of it, you saw your nation saved? Or at the end of it, you saw your family saved? I mean, I don't know. You just put at the end what it is that you feel that God's called you to. But why does it have to be in a quick, spontaneous prayer? Why couldn't it be after dedication and faith? Dedication and faith, day after day, just sticking hand on the plow, just keep on going. Here's what I love also about the man. He had an unwavering compassion for the people. He said, my wife's died, but nobody else is going to die. He loved people. Jesus is calling us to love people. If we're going to have a focused vision for the things of God, we've got to ask God to help us to love people more and have compassion on them. Everywhere we see that Jesus went, he kept saying the same thing. And the writers would say the same thing. He had compassion on the people. He had compassion on them. He had compassion on this person. And it would cause him to move, because it moves our heart. And when it moves our heart, we'll press in and we'll pray and we'll go the extra mile like we wouldn't do otherwise. I'm encouraging that we need to press in and get the compassion that God's called us to. And then last quick thing is that he had an undivided vision. He wasn't trying to move 10 other mountains. He was focused on this mountain, and this is the one that I'm after. And I'm going to do it every morning before work. I'm going to go to work, and then every day after work, I'm going to do it. In fact, in the stories, if you read some of it, tells you that he had 3 goats, and he sold the 3 goats because he was so convinced, I'm going to take this mountain out, and he bought a hammer and chisel with it. He literally gave up everything for the vision. He was undivided in anything else. All he kept was his work for income. After that, his whole dedication was digging through this mountain, and he did it. For us to win our battles, we've got to stay focused, but we need to check our hearts and head. Like, what are you focused on? I think the most important question to ask yourself is, like, check your heart, check your head. This is not about all the options in front of us, although it can feel like that. Well, I've got so many options, I don't know what to pick. What we're going to pick is literally what our head says or our heart says. It's that simple, isn't it? I mean, you're not going to go past the things that you love. You're not going to go past the things that your heart says or your head says, no matter what you see in front of you. You might test a few things, but when it comes to your vision and going after things, it's going to be what's in your heart and what's in your head. So we've got to check that. Here's what Galatians 3:1 says. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. We're literally reading here what Paul's writing is that you got to fix and set your heart and your head on Jesus. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. If it gets on anything else, you're going to have an undivided vision. If it gets on anything else, you're not going to have that focused vision. You're not going to accomplish the things that you want to. We need to stay focused on Him. If we don't do that, if we don't stay focused on Him, then we're not going to have that focused vision. It's like we literally need Jesus to do it, and then to stay focused and to stay the course and to go after the things that Jesus has called us, then we've got to be focused on Him. He enables us to help them to see Him. That's literally what's going on. It's like He helps us to see Him better because God's so kind and He's so good. He knows we can't do this in our own strength. So the Holy Spirit enables us. If you have a focus problem, you know what you need to do. You need to check your heart. You need to check your head. That's how you're going to get to the right answer. That's how you're going to get to a place that helps you. It's not just because you like this thing. And it's not just because you get distracted by that thing. And it's not just because you always get that phone call. It's because there's something deeper going on in your heart and your head. And you need to go back to the cause, not the symptoms. And it will help you to unravel and really get a clear picture of what's going on. Matthew 6:24 says this, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Here's what Jesus is saying right from the beginning to the disciples when they were starting their ministry together and Jesus just called them. He's saying, guys, here's the deal. You cannot follow after me and follow after other things. It just won't work. That's the way life is. It's like you had another master. Now I've called you to me. This is the way vision works. This is the way life works. I mean, if you haven't figured it out yet, then this is the truth from the word. It's like Jesus said, you've got to follow after me with your whole heart, with your whole life, with your whole mind, with your whole soul. It just doesn't work any other way, because otherwise you're going to serve two masters, and anybody that serves two masters ends up going two different directions. And we were never meant to go two different directions. Amen. I mean, when you're going to the shop, you can't be going to the swimming pool. I mean, you just can't do it. Now, I know when we're at work, we try to do a whole load of different things, or, you know, we're on our phones trying to do a whole load of different things, but it usually doesn't profit us that well. It usually doesn't go that well. We're good at one direction at a time. We're good at one thing at a time. That's how we work best, and that's what God's calling us to. And so I want us to think about just some of the points that this verse brings out and bring us some things to help us and encourage us today. Number one, we will always follow what captivates our hearts. If Jesus doesn't captivate your heart, then something else has. If He hasn't fully captivated your heart, then you're not going to follow Him in the way that you think you will. You're not going to follow Him in the way that you should. You're not going to follow Him in the way that you hope to. It's whatever captivates your heart is literally what's going to get you following Him. That's literally it. Because you can't serve two masters. You can't go two different ways. That's what Jesus said. And here's our call as Christians. Our call as Christians is literally to be fully captivated by Jesus. Otherwise, we are simply trying to serve two masters and it does not work. We've got to get fully captivated by Him. What about you today? Where do you find yourself? Ask God to reveal it to you. Ask the Lord to help you because He literally will help you. He knows that to follow after Him, you need to give it everything. He knows to follow after me and to live this Christian life is to follow after me in every single aspect of your life. Can I give you some experience from my life for what it's worth? It's like anytime that you go after two visions, guess what you end up doing? Division. It's just the way it is. The only way to get true vision is single-mindedness. It's just like one thing and that's it, I'm after it. But anytime that you take one vision, bring another vision in, you get division. It's just it. You cannot do it. There's just no way around it. And I think for us in our lives, we've got to be wise. We've got to be smart. We've got to say, okay, what am I truly after? What is my heart really after? If your heart is not after Jesus, if your head is not after Him, then you are not going to be able to go after Him. It's okay to say, yeah, I'm after God. walking after Jesus. He's everything for me. But if he's not your heart, he's not your head, then you're trying to serve two masters and it is not going to go well. He says, come on, you've got to get fully captivated by me. If you're not fully captivated by me, you're fully captivated by something else and you'll end up trying to do both, but you can only ever do one thing well. I mean, I ever try to do multitasking just in the practical sense? I mean, try to do multitasking. For me and my work, I'm like, try to do this, try to do that. And you know what? Sometimes at the end of the day, you know where I come to the conclusion? I think if I just stuck to the one thing, I might have been done more. If I just stuck to the one thing, I think I would have got more things done. But I tried to be all over the place. And sometimes it just leads to just fed up, just like, oh, did I get anything accomplished today? Just feeling like, I just want to quit. I just want to change. Multitasking can be good. But it is not the permanent solution. It is not something that's going to lead us into our true vision. It's that single-mindedness. It's that one vision. It's that, man, and I've got this vision. I'm like, I don't want anybody else to die. My wife has died. Nobody else is going to die. I'm going to dig this thing 300 feet long, 30 feet wide. I'm going to do it 22 years. Single-minded, focused. And that's what got his attention. And that's what achieved great things. Number two, lack of focus is always a master issue. He said, this is what Jesus said to us. He said, lack of focus is always a master issue. If you can't focus, it's because you're trying to do two things. If you can't focus on the one thing, it's because you're trying to serve two masters. It's always a master thing. It's not just because you're being attracted by other things. It's not just because you fancy other things. It's not just because the TV ads are so good. It's because you're literally trying to serve two masters. It's always a master issue. Come on, think about it. If you've got a single focus, and then you try to bring in another focus, well, you can't be single focused. You're going to have two. It's like one and one equals two. You can't get back to one. You've got to take one away. And it's the same in our lives. In other words, it's like you can't have both. You can't have your cake and eat it. You know this. I mean, this is a true statement. You can't have the lovely cake that looks beautiful, that smells beautiful, and then say, oh, I'd really love to eat it. I mean, it's like you either eat it or you don't. It's like you can't have both. You can't enjoy it and keep it. You can't have both. It's like you can't have loads of money in the bank. I just want to be really wealthy. You know, just want to have loads of money. Just want to have my bank account full, but then also want to have loads of stuff. You cannot have both. You're either going to be spending it or keeping it. You can't have. It's like, I want this, but to get this, you're going to have to give that up. You know, it's just the way it works. And it's the same with Jesus. You can't have all Jesus and have the fuzzy feelings and, you know, like have, wow, he really spoke to me last night. And then all you do is serve yourself. I mean, come on, let's be real. I mean, you can't have those private moments with Jesus. You can't have that all to yourself and then not do anything with it in the real world. When you're out in your work, when you're out day to day. I mean, it's just not going to work. It's not going to last because you're trying to do two things. You're trying to serve two masters. So your focus problem is always a master problem. Who are you really after? You can only serve one. What's the one for you? Romans 6:16 says this, don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. See, here's really what's going on behind the whole thing. It's like there's two masters. There's your old life, whenever you used to serve yourself, sin was rampant, you're serving the enemy, literally he's controlling your life, and then you make a decision in Christ and you turn your life around, you say, hey, I want Jesus. I need forgiveness. I need salvation. I want my life to be turned around. And so you change masters and you serve Jesus. And this is what Paul's writing in Romans. He said, hey, come on, you used to be a slave to one. Now become a slave to the other. And here's the great news about Jesus. You're a slave to Jesus. All he thinks about you. See, here's the thing. Slavery to a good master is a great thing. Slavery to a bad master is a bad thing. If they're bad and they're evil, all they want to do is abuse you and use you. If it's Jesus, then they're good and they're amazing. And all they want to do is bless you and benefit you and increase you and prosper you and help you to live the life that you were always intended to live and to do incredible things. That's the good news of being enslaved to Christ. That's why it's not a negative, it's a benefit. But God is saying, and Jesus is saying, and Paul's saying to us today, he says, this is a slave thing. You got to understand, if you go back and serve two masters, you're going to bring yourself back into the old life. And it didn't go so well before, and it's not going to go well for afterwards. It's like, follow after Jesus. He's the only one. Here's a couple of keys from that verse. A master is anything that enslaves you. Think about this. Anything in your life will become a master. Like if it starts to dominate your life, it starts to enslave you. It's like lust. Maybe in the story we just read, it was like money and wealth. Maybe it's money and wealth. It's my master. It's what I'm after. It's like it dictates every aspect of my life. Or it's maybe lust. It's like I just can't get it out of my head. Just can't get that thought out of my mind, you know. Or it's addiction. Or maybe it's just yourself. You're just obsessed with yourself. Like I got to do this and I got to do that. And you become this master of your life. And unfortunately, what it ends up doing, it enslaves you. Because any enslavement outside of Christ is bondage. Any enslavement outside of God is just no good because he's the only one that's good. He's the only one that's good. So think about this now. The only master that's good is Jesus. Every other master enslaves you. Wow. Every other thing, every other master, every other thing that grabs your attention, every other thing that dominates your time is literally just enslaving you, which is ultimately removing your freedom. This is why it's so important. This is why it's so important, because the only master that gives you freedom is Jesus. Every other master, every other thing, even yourself, brings you into bondage, brings you the opposite place of freedom. Every master is the opposite of God. Only he is good. Number three, Jesus calls to follow him. His call to follow him is a call to abandon all other masters. Literally, when you came to Christ, think about this now. When you came to Jesus, it was a call to leave everything else behind you. It wasn't a call of like, oh, I pack up all the good stuff. Can I keep a few bad things because I want to keep those things because I kind of like them? And if Jesus takes them away, so be it, but I'm going to bring them anyway. You know, it's not that, is it? It's like literally you come to Jesus and you're like, oh my gosh, my life's a mess. I'm a sinner. I need my life transformed. And you come to him, you repent, which is literally you're turning away from your old lifestyle, and turning away from your old sinful ways. And you say, but Jesus, I can't do this in my own strength, but somehow, some way, I want to trust you. You've given me faith. I want to give you my life. I mean, come on. If we say we give you him, if we say we give him your life and we've given it to Jesus, then we can't keep things and we can't choose things and we can't bring the suitcases with us with all the things that we want to keep. We literally have to start afresh. And that's why he tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 that we are new creations. We are new creations in Christ, and he has called us afresh. You see, every vision outside of Christ is in our way. Every vision outside of Christ is in our way. It's literally enslaving us. It's literally bringing us back into bondage. And this is why at every moment, every day, we've got to check our hearts. We've got to check our hearts because it's our hearts and our heads that dictate the things that we go after, dictate the visions that we go after. Here's what Proverbs 4:23-27 says. Keep your heart with all allegiance, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put your perseverant lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. See, why is this so important? Because Jesus is the only one that gives us freedom. Anytime our heart gets entangled, we're going towards bondage again. We're going towards slavery. And that's what Jesus set us free from. So just think about this thing. Anytime that our vision is not Jesus, we're naturally walking towards, we're walking away from God. We're in opposition from him. And we're walking towards in slavery. We're literally going back into our enslaved old lives, even though we may not feel it just initially. But that's what we're going into. Because the only one that brings freedom and the only one that can give us freedom and the only one that takes us from more freedom to more freedom is Jesus, because he's the only good master. Every other master, every other thing brings us back into bondage. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Just over and over and over again, you're going to read about the slavery idea. See, we once were in slavery. When you're a slave and you're a slave to sin, you just can't escape. You can't get away from it. You just can't, no matter what you do, there's no freedom from it. But the moment that Jesus came into your life and saved you and transformed you, he set you free from the slavery of sin. Now you're a free person, free woman, free man. He does not want you to go back there anymore. But here's the enemy's plan. Distraction, deception, and destruction. That's all he wants to do. That's all he wants to do in your life. So he wants to deceive you so you can't see clearly. He wants to distract you so you can't process properly. And he wants to destroy. That's all he wants to do. He hates you and he wants to destroy you. You've got to understand that. I mean, as much as God loves you, the enemy is the polar opposite. He absolutely detests and hates your life. He just does not like you. So his ultimate goal and his ultimate purpose for every moment of every day is to destroy humanity. It's to destroy the world. What's the ultimate purpose and the ultimate goal of Jesus? I've already saved you. I've already destroyed sin. I've already destroyed death. So come be with me. Understand my presence and dwell with me and be with me and watch how your life is being transformed every day. Number four, it's time to leave behind all everything. So it's time to leave behind everything. It's time to like recklessly abandon everything else outside of Christ. Let's read it. It's the high calling. It's the big thing. But I'm telling you, this is the only way to live, and it's the only way to go after the things of God. So I want us to think about the early disciples. The early disciples leave us a perfect example of how to come, how to follow after Jesus. Do you remember Matthew? He was a tax collector. Jesus comes to him. He says, come follow me. And in that moment, here's the dilemma that Matthew had. Okay, I've got a vision of making a load of money, maybe ripping a few people off, and living a wealthy lifestyle. And now Jesus has called me to him. What did he do in that moment? He abandoned that life of wealth, that life of comfort, and he simply said, okay, that's over. I now follow after you. You see, here's the thing about the New Testament. See, Jesus makes it really clear. It's like, come after me. That's it. It's just like, leave everything behind. It's like, there's just nothing that's unclear about this. I once was doing this thing, and now it's come after me. Now, totally, leave everything. I mean, do you remember Peter, James, and John? They were fishermen. They were fishing. Now, you think to yourself, well, they're just fishermen. But they literally left behind their whole family business to come after Jesus. They said, hey, Jesus, you're all that we want. You've called us. We're going after you. This is the same example that he's saying to us today. Would you follow that? Would you do that? Now, I know this seems heavy. This seems big. You're like, come on, for real? I'm like, yeah, because this is the example that Jesus gives us. When Paul comes, what was he doing? He was living a life of position, power, and authority. He was in high esteem, high prestige. And then Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus. And through a series of events, he says, okay, I'm giving my whole life to you, Lord. I mean, this is the examples that Jesus said. Maybe we went wrong, or maybe we've diluted some things, or maybe we've changed some things. Because Jesus, the example that he gave us from his word, is literally give up everything to come after me. Come on, this is it. Now, did Paul still work? He said, yeah, he still made some tents. The early disciples, did they do some odd jobs? Not in the 3 years that they were with Jesus, but then after that, they did various different things. So it's not saying we can't work. It's not saying we can't have families. It's not saying we can't have lives, but it's saying, hey, he's the main thing in my life. I'm abandoning everything else. He's my main vision. He's my main focus. Wow. What a call and what a lifestyle. But this is the way to live truly after Christ. This is the way to stay away from enslaving and slavery. This is the way to stay away from bondage. This is the way to continuously step into freedom. It's to always keep your face and your gaze and your fix on Jesus. And so why would Jesus ask us to leave all these things behind? Why? It's simply back to the verse where we started. Because you cannot serve two masters. You're either after him or you're not. Could you imagine being a follower of Christ but you still stay at home? You know what I'm saying? Could you imagine saying, I follow after Jesus, but you never follow after Jesus? Could you imagine those early disciples saying, yeah, we're going to do it, Jesus, yeah. And then he turns around, they're not there. It's just like you cannot do both. It's literally you cannot serve two masters. It's that simple. It's that black and white. So we've got to figure this thing out. And so why can we not do it? Come on, let me give you a few different things of why we can't serve two masters. Give you some more. Because God is jealous. He's a jealous God and he's jealously after you. Why? Because you're his. He created you. He made you. And he's jealous for his things. He's not like maybe us sometimes. We're like, yeah, I fancy a new phone, so I'll get rid of the old one. You know, like I don't like this thing, so I'll dump that. I'll trade it in. I'll get something else. Nah, this is kind of worn out. I'll get rid of it. You know, or this or that. No. When it's yours, think of your kids. Think of people that you love. When they're your things, you can't get rid of them. It's like you're jealous for them. You're like, this is it. I love you with a jealous love. I'm not giving you to anybody else. I mean, aren't you so glad if you're married and you've got a husband or a wife that they're jealously in love with you? I mean, you don't want them getting some other wife or getting some other husband, amen? I mean, if you're a kid and you've got a mom or a dad, aren't you glad that they're jealously in love with you, that they're not going to just dump you for better kids when they come along? Maybe when you're McDonald's, you're like, oh, them kids look a lot better. They eat less, they cry less, let's have them instead. No, because our parents are jealous for us. God is jealous for us because he made us and he loves us and he wants us and he wants us back. And so in those moments, why is he so jealous and why is he saying you can't serve two masters? Number one, because he's jealous for us and he knows that we need him. And that without him, we can't survive. Without him, we won't be the people he's created us to be because he has made us for his glory. So he's jealous for us and he knows that we need him. Here's the thing about God. He knows no lack. There's no lack in him. So we need him. And so why is he so jealous for us? Because he knows our need of him. He's so kind. He's so gracious. He's so full of love. I hope today that you're feeling his love afresh in your heart and in your life. Number three, our previous master, Like when we lived in the flesh, when we lived in sin, wasn't very good to us. Why does he say you can't serve two masters? Why does he say you should come after me and nobody else? Because our previous master was no good. Even if you could do it, he was no good. That life was no good. It just brought you to emptiness and numbness, and it just messed you up. And you were like, oh my gosh, is this really what life's all about? And then hopefully, thankfully, you find Jesus. And if you haven't, then I pray that you would find him today, because he brings hope from hopeless situations. That's our God. He's a hope dealer. He's a hope dealer. And then fourthly, it's the word of Jesus. And this is the one that grabs my heart. Maybe it's the same for you. We end up hating one and loving the other. We end up being devoted to one and despising the other. This is what the scripture tells us. If we try to serve two masters, this is why it's not a good idea. Because even on your best days, when things go wrong and things don't add up the way you want, or you're having the, you know, prayers aren't being answered, or reading's becoming difficult, what's going to happen then when other options come up? When the other master strikes up, when your life strikes up, when the things that you want in your life strikes up, and you say, well, yeah, I'll leave it. And remember, if you're not for God, then you're against God. Come on, we got to be black and white in this thing. It's like, if you're not devoted to Jesus, then you're already starting to despise him. Like, why did God not answer my prayers? Like, have you not heard that? How many people complain and are against God because he should have done this, or he could have done that, or why did he not do this better? It's like, if we're not devoted to him, we already despise him. Come on, this is real. Like, if we're not for him, we're already against him. You cannot serve two masters. You either love one or you hate the other. Or you love this and you hate him. And I don't want to be like that. And I don't want you to be like that. That's why I'm appealing to you. And so different masters want different things. It's the truth. That's why you can't serve two masters. Different masters want different things. They lead differently. They have different plans. And they have different visions. And ultimately, you're going to end up with split loyalties. Like, who do I go after? If it's all said and done and both need me, which one do I go to? I mean, this is why we end up in a mess sometimes, isn't it? You know, there's a great meeting going on. There's a prayer time going on. There's a worship night going on. But it's just like, but there's this on as well. You know, and maybe you tell yourself, well, I'm just tired. But then you get a phone call from a friend who says, hey, do you want to go to cinema? Oh my gosh, the new James Bond movie's out. Come on, let's go see it. I wish it was, you know. And then suddenly it doesn't matter about you're tired. Because remember, whenever a better option comes along, if you're not fully devoted to him, then you're just going to turn away from him. And you're going to go the other way. This is the crazy thing. This is the challenge of our lives. What happens when your life after Jesus clashes with the other things in your life, like your possessions, your wealth, and the things that you want? He could come second. And if he comes second, he comes last. This is it. This is the truth of our lives. Or maybe you've thought to yourselves, well, you know what, I'm not giving a lot to God. I can't really give an awful lot to God. But then you look around your life and you've got loads of stuff going on. You got loads of stuff and you got loads of things and you're paying for loads of things and you've given your time to loads of things. So it doesn't make any sense, and we're confusing ourselves. We're mixing ourselves up because, again, you can't serve two masters. You're either going after one or not the other. You're either loving one and neglecting the other, or vice versa. You're either fully devoted or despising. And I don't want Jesus to be the one that we despise. I don't want him to be the one that we forget about, because he's amazing. And we don't want cheap grace. I don't want cheap grace that says, well, it's okay because I'll ask for forgiveness and he'll help me. You know what I want? I want costly grace. I want costly grace because Jesus paid a high price for it. So I want him to enable me, so I'm not just going to quit and go with every whim that I fancy. And I'm not just going to try to serve two masters, because I want to serve him and serve him alone. Amen. What about you? What about you? I'm telling you, there is no better life than this. Remember this. And when it comes to our actions, and I know we talked about actions, but it's not really about our actions. That's just what we see. It's always about your heart. It's always about your head. It's always about what you've devoted yourself to, what you've put your thoughts to. Can I tell you this? If you want to change your heart, change your thoughts. It's that simple. If you want to change your heart, change your thoughts. Because whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're focused on, whatever you've set your mind on, is eventually going to become your heart. I mean, if you just keep looking at it, it's like, you know, in the olden days, some of the guys will remember this. The old days, you had the Auto Trader book. If you keep looking at that car, you're falling in love with that car. Now it's online. If you keep looking at that car every day, you're falling in love with that car. If you keep looking at that girl every day, you're falling in love with that girl. That's just the way it works. Whatever you start to think on, whatever you start to dwell on, whatever your thoughts are focused on, that's what your heart is going to. That's where your heart's going to end up. And wherever your heart is, then your actions are going to follow from it. Your treasure, your actions, every part of you. This is why it's so important. This is why we've got to be so wise. We've got to remind ourselves. Colossians 3 says this. Remember we read before, set your hearts on things above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, but not on earthly things. You see, we've got willpower. And I like willpower, but here's what I've learned about willpower. It's your best friend when you're healthy, and it's the first friend to leave when things aren't going so well, isn't it? You know, it just leaves straight away. And then before you know it, your emotions dictate to you, your heart dictates to you, life dictates to you, your feelings dictate to you, everything. And then you're not doing what you want. And you're like, after, well, why did I do that? Because willpower is a great start, and it's a great friend when things are good, but it's useless when things go wrong. It just runs away. It's just like, oh, you know, too tired. No, I'm just not up for it. But I think that's the thing you love. I know, but I'm just, because you're burned out. You're not healthy. And God says, remember, if you're going to be a focus and you're going to be focused on me, I need to help you. I need to strengthen you. I need to be the difference in your life. If your gaze is on other things than Jesus, know this, when things go wrong and when things get difficult, you're going to quit on Jesus. I'm telling you this. I've been there. I know this. I've seen it. How many times have people said, hey, you know what? I'm after God. I'm after God, but I also really want a wife. And then they find someone and they're not a Christian. They're not saved. And before you know it, their walk with God starts to get down less and less and less. And then they jeopardize their walk with God. And many times, which is so sad, they lose years, if not lifetimes, from walking away from Jesus to serve some other master. And was it really all that you thought it would be? Or maybe a job, or maybe thinking, yeah, no, I can't go after God because I'm so busy in my work and I'm trying to build my career and all the different things. And all of that sounds really good, and it is good, but you're serving a different master outside of Christ. Remember Peter, James, and John? Give up the family business. Remember Matthew? Give up the wealth. Give up the status. Remember Paul? Give up all the prestige. Give up all the high honors. And he became a wretch. He basically became a wretch. But in Christ, he gained all things. He gained all things. You see, we can't have our cake and eat it. You got to know this. You can't have all the sweets in the jar and the satisfaction of eating them. You can't have Jesus and all the fuzzy feelings and all the good stuff and then not serve other people. It's got to go somewhere. It's got to get somewhere. As I encourage your heart, what is your heart after? If it's not after the things of God, be careful. Ask him. And if it's after two different things, watch how he's going to lose. You know, here's what I find. You know when you get tired? And you're like, you're reading, but you're not really getting much out of the word. The word's going to go, and you're going to go on to something else. You know when you're like worshiping, and you're just not really feeling it, and you're not really liking that song, and it is in church, but you're just still not feeling it, you're just going to tell yourself that's not a song that you can really connect with God in. It's just crazy. That's nonsense. You know what I mean? That is just so crazy when you process it. But when you try to serve two different things, and you try to go after other things, and it's not just Jesus, then you'll get distracted by other things, and Jesus in your life will always lose. I mean, he's not going to lose, but you will lose out on him, because you'll start to seek after other things, and you'll wind up in an empty mess. For us to succeed in life, for us to succeed in a focused vision, we need to turn to God. And I want to encourage you to turn to him right now. Focus on Jesus and ask him by his Spirit to help you. Ask him. We looked earlier about the early church and what they did. Here's a stark contrast of the early church in 2 Timothy 4:10 of what it was like. I think it's the same for today. It says, for Demas, because he loved this world, he deserted me, Paul speaking, and has gone to Thessalonica. And Sersens has gone to Galatia. And Titus to Dalmatia. I mean, here's three different guys that were following after Paul. They were following after the things of God. Their vision was Jesus. But there was still some stuff in them that they hadn't worked through. And then when the going got tough and when other things cropped up and better options even came around or things just got difficult and things got hard, they went a different way. And at the end of it, in verse 11, here's what Paul says. Only Luke is with me now. Only Luke. There was four guys, but three out of the four have went somewhere else. Because what does it say? For Demas, because he loved this world, he had another master. I'm telling you, you cannot serve two masters. It's got to be Jesus. Who's ready to have a full focus today? Who's ready to have a focused vision? Who's ready to put their vision on Jesus and say, hey, for blurry vision, Jesus was the cure. For focused vision, Jesus is the cure. He's going to help you, and he's the one that you should focus on. And when you do, you can do extraordinary things. Now, I love the story of the mountain man. I love the story of the guy in India. Remember, 300 foot long, 30 foot wide. Go out and try and process that. Just try and process that distance and try to think of how he did it. You know what he said he did? He got his pick. He only had a chisel and a hammer. He would go out. He would light up the rocks so it would kind of break them up. He would light a fire in the rocks, let it cool down. The bricks would then cool overnight. They'd then start to crumble, and he would be able to chip them away. He'd do that day after day after day after day. I'm sure that people thought he was a maniac. Noah was a maniac too until the rains came. I mean, everybody thought Jesus was crazy until he rose the third day. I mean, this is the thing with our faith. If we could just get a focused vision on Jesus, then we can step into all the things that he has called us to. If we don't get a focused vision on him, we're going to get distracted in other things, and we're never going to be able to accomplish the things that he's called us to, and we're never going to be after him in the way that our hearts desires. We need a clear focus. We need to serve just one master, not two. What about you today? We're going to pray in just a moment. But what are the things you're going to have to let go of? Because here's the truth. I mean, if there's things in your life that are above Christ, if there's things in your life competing for Christ, in other words, if Jesus is not your main thing, if he's not the main thing in your life, if he's not your focused vision, then there's other things there. If you're getting distracted and you're like, oh, I'm finding it tough to focus on him, I'm finding it tough to read, I'm finding it tough to pray. You know what? Sometimes I don't even go to church that much and I'm doing other things. Then I'm telling you, it's because you're serving other masters and you're getting distracted by other things and you just cannot do it. Here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to let it go. Hardest thing. But Jesus will help you. You're going to have to let it go. And as you let it go, it feels like you're losing, but you're going to win. You're going to win far greater and far better than you could ever possibly imagine or think. So what do you need to let go of? What else is in your vision that's holding you back from seeing Jesus clearly? And what else is competing with him? Here's the real truth. What else is competing with him? Come on, we're going to pray. If you're not a Christian, I want to ask you that question. What else is competing in your life for, say, giving your life to Jesus? What else is getting in the way? Like, what is literally stopping you? Is it for fear, like, I'll never be good enough? Is it for fear, I don't want to give up my life? So, is it for fear about all the other things? Can I urge you and tell you that the things you think you have are not just quite as good as you think? They can be gone in a moment. They can be gone in a second. Ask anybody who's been there before. They will tell you, I had loads of things. I felt like life was just cruising, and then things changed. It's like the moment you think you've got it is the moment that you're actually losing it. The only thing that's bringing you into full freedom, the only thing that's not bringing you into bondage and slavery is Jesus Christ. He's the only one to have a full vision on. We're going to pray for that. If you don't know him, then let's accept him today. If you do know him, please, let's not be split people. You cannot have a one true vision if you've got two visions. Remember, it's division, it's division. You cannot divide yourself. You cannot go two different ways. Those early disciples, they just went after him, but guess what they did? They abandoned everything else. They weren't making business phone calls along the way. They weren't trying to still collect a bit of tax along the way. They weren't trying to catch a few fish along the way other than breakfast. They literally had given it all up. They were only after him. That's the urgency for our hearts today. That's what we need to do. So we're going to pray. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for everybody who's tuned in. We thank you for all the things you're doing, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, for anybody who doesn't know you or anybody that's just known you but are far from you. Lord, I just really pray. I pray with full faith that they would just come to know your spirit. I pray even right now, convict them, Lord. Let them see their need of you. Let them see that their lives is fine. And maybe they're a mess. Maybe they aren't fine. Maybe they are fine. Maybe they look like they're all doing really good. But let them realize and let everybody see that without Christ, you're in slavery. You just haven't realized it yet. But in him, you'll be a slave to freedom, which is just incredible, absolutely incredible. I pray right now, Lord, that anybody who wants to make that decision would simply say yes. Say yes to you. And in this moment and in those moments, Lord, that you would come right now and take away their sins, give them a brand new start, fill them with your Holy Spirit, and now begin to just transform and change their lives because their lives are forever changed. Lord, I pray for anybody who's made that decision. That's the greatest decision ever. And I pray you would bless them, help them, and encourage them along the way and for them to reach out and let other people know. But Lord, I also pray for those that are saved, that those that know you, those of us that have been walking with God, maybe for 5 minutes, 5 years, 50 years, whatever it is. Lord, I pray this, that we will not give up in our pursuit of Jesus only, that we will not be distracted by other things, that we will not be consumed by everything else that wants to grab our attention, but we will be wise, smart individuals made in the image of God that says, I know what this is all about. This is about my head and my heart. So what's got my thoughts? What's got my attention? Because that will dictate what's got my heart. Lord, I pray today for hearts that are yielded to you. I pray today for minds that are given over to you. And I pray today for a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit right now. Jesus, we give you praise and we thank you for everything in your precious name. Amen.